my kitchen. There's hard to be raining her do.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Mashed potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn, you bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan live in the flesh. It's been about 3 weeks. 3 weeks since I was here. What a weekend, huh? Where were you? Were you in two places at once or three places at once? I felt like I was. The fabulous Apple Blossom Festival and parade yesterday. So many things going on, Earth Day celebrations all over. The season has arrived. And, you know, I hope it's not going to stay quite this hot because I'll be whining for months. But otherwise, it's really beautiful. We've got a full house tonight. We have Paula Downing of many things, farmers markets, farm trails, slow food. And in the studio with Paula is Daniel Keaton. Did I say that right, Keaton?
Yes, you did.
A chef of Backyard in Forestville. And there's a big barn dance gala coming up that is a benefit for Sonoma County Farm Trails and the Gravenstein Apple Fair. And I had to have them on because anything with barn dance in the title is right up my alley. We love a barn dance. And then also joining us are Amy and Chris Ludwig of Earth's Bounty Fine Foods and Grapevine Catering.
Correct.
Yes.
And you have some big news. You're going to be taking over the space that most recently was Fresh.
Correct. Yes, we're moving in. Probably Grapevine will be in by the end of May. The owner is building a wall to separate the front from the back, and Grapevine is our first priority because we are, like you said, getting into the season, and we need to make sure that Grapevine is ready for that season. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we'll be moved in by the end of May.
And then you have some big plans down the road for making it also a retail space.
We have an exciting new concept that we're developing right now. It's going to be called Earth's Bounty Kitchen. It's going to be a specialty food marketplace and a restaurant and wine bar.
Cool.
Yeah. So and we're not sure when that will be open.
Maybe in the fall?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, like I said, the first priority is getting Grapevine in. Then we can start looking at the build-out for the front and have a better idea after we get Grapevine in the back how long that'll take to get the front up and running. And
yeah.
We'll probably open it in stages.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're not sure if we're going to do the market to go first or the full service cafe first, but one of them will be open first.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So first, I want to talk about the benefit that's happening because I know you guys have brought some of your product, mm-hmm. Earth's Bounty products, and we'll get into tasting and that sort of thing a little bit later.
Great.
But first, I want to talk about the benefit that's coming up for Farm Trails. Who's the point person on this? Is it you, Paula?
Can I ask where Fresh is before I talk about Farm Fresh?
Of course. Of course. Tell them where Fresh is.
Well, it's over in Rincon Valley. It's 5755 Mountain Hawk Way, and it was Fresh, and then it was before that it was Skyhawk Market.
Right. Okay. I know where you are.
Yeah, Skyhawk Village there.
Yeah, and the village there by past the Calistoga Road.
Yes,
correct.
Turn off.
Yeah,
okay,
most recently
you.
Occupied.
On Highway 12.
Yeah, most recently occupied by Lisa Hemingway.
Yeah.
She's the one who named it Fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then before that it was, what's his name? Mike Runyon?
Yeah.
It was Mike Runyon, right?
Yeah.
Village Market.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, now I know where you are.
Okay.
Thank you. I was thinking of the place down in the mall, and I'm going, I don't think they're mall people. But
you were correct.
So the Barn Dance Gala, Farm Trails, what did you ask me? I was preoccupied with
Just want the details of when it's happening, where it's happening, what's going on.
So it's next Saturday, April 27th. It starts at 3:30. So it's and we'll eat dinner 5:30 to 6. There'll be whole cheese tasting, a really nice, well put together cheese tasting of all the little producers that we could find, which will be fun. Lauren Stemple from Stemple Creek is going to cook sliders, and I'm not sure if he's going to integrate them with dinner or if he's going to cook them before.
Now, who's going to be doing that?
Lauren Stemple from Stemple Creek.
Okay.
He's in Marin. He's primarily a beef producer.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to have animals for the kids because it's baby animal time. We had some at the Sebastopol Market today, baby ducks and baby chickens and baby piggies, baby goats for the kids to play with and pet.
And for the adults who want to.
And plenty of adults,
There is nothing like picking up a baby goat. The goats love human contact.
Yeah.
And so many times I had been walking over or taking, say, a class to Redwood Hill, and these baby goats would just practically jump in my arms and they nuzzle, and it's just such a joyful thing.
They're just trying to butter you up so that they they can eat your purse or something.
Exactly.
Like that. That's what goats are about, my opinion. So it's held at the farm of Joe and Kathy Tresh. And they produce milk for...
Two Rock Ranch.
Yeah. They produce milk for a Strauss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 1,300 acres. It's
and they have a beautiful barn, right? They have a gorgeous barn.
Yeah.
Where the barn dance is going to be.
It's just one of those idyllic places that if you have, haven't been out in the neighborhood anyway, the neighborhood is wonderful.
Oh, Two Rock is just
so if
great.
You haven't been there, the ranch is just unbelievable. And then there's a... She has a little orchard. Kathy has a little orchard, Olympia's orchard, apple orchard. So you'll get to go around the farm and see their animal operation and see the orchard and, you know, just enjoy this incredibly beautiful place. Daniel is the chef. Let me tell you, it's at Two Rock Ranch, 1051 Walker Road, Petaluma. You can go on Farm Trails website and pay.
Yeah, and we'll give all those details at the end of the show.
Okay, so... What else do I want to tell you? Oh, there's music for people who stay up at night. They're not one of them, but it's Cahoots, and so that's a lot of people know them. Doug Lipton from Shed is in Cahoots, and then Craig Anderson from Land Pass. So it's kind of like a Sonoma County, you know, who's who of all the interesting guys in Sonoma County. You know, not all of them, but some.
Somebody, something interesting, who have 1 foot in music and 1 foot in something to do with food and farming.
Yeah.
You know, there's other people doing that. I saw Daniel Imhoff.
He's in there, too.
He's in there. Oh, is this the
band
he's in?
He's in Cahoots, too. Yeah.
Okay. He was just telling me they've got their third... They've got a CD coming out sometime soon, he said. And when they're finished, because they've got a lot of farming songs, I think they're going to be live in the studio here.
Oh, good. Oh, that's
so,
good.
Yeah, it's nice to see, you know, because if you think about farming, especially farming 100 years ago, 150 years ago, you think about, well, that's what they did on set. They all got together and somebody picked up
music.
A fiddle and a banjo. And I love this.
Yeah. So it's exciting. We're going to have speakers, too. We're going to have some of the farmers talk. Lou Preston, Steve Dutton, Lauren from Stemple Creek, Paul Kaiser from Singing Frog, and maybe a couple more.
Uh-huh.
So you'll get to meet farmers.
Oh, that's great.
As well as taste the cheese and meet some of the farmers who create the cheese. So that part will be really It's very inspiring. You know, I love farmers.
You do. You love farmers as much as anyone I know.
Yeah. Well, if I were ever going to get in another relationship, I'd pick a farmer buddy. Anyway, that's more personal than maybe we should talk about on the radio.
This is Mouthful. We can go anywhere. So do we know what we're doing? Daniel, do you know what you're going to do yet?
We're definitely going to be – well, the great thing is that at the restaurant we feature all these farmers now. And so we're so lucky to be using it. Kind of the rough menu that we're doing is we're going to be doing a salad with Paul's lettuces from Singing Frog, some pickled vegetables, and a really simple dressing. We're going to be getting potatoes from who's bringing them?
Probably Stewart from Stone Horse Farm. There's not that many potatoes
yeah,
left.
This is end of
it's
potato season.
It's a bad time
season.
For potatoes.
Very bad time. And then Felton Acres is donating a pig, and so we're going to do a little slow roasted pig. And then it's also somebody's going to be giving us a goat, so we're going to be doing a little roasted goat leg. Like you said, Lauren from Stemple Creek is going to be doing sliders, braised greens from Bloomfield, right?
I went to Laguna.
Oh, Laguna. Yeah. Which is just good. And then some beans from Tierra Vegetable, where we're going to be using their beans and doing like a kind of traditional baked bean. It's a barn dance, so we're kind of going with that barbecue theme.
Sure.
And really getting the kids and the families really excited. Nightingale Bread is going to be giving us bread for...
Oh, nice. Nice.
Kind of do like pulled pork sandwiches, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Tempeh, if you eat tempeh.
Oh, yes.
There's going to be tempeh.
There is going to be tempeh. This is still Sonoma County. There has to be tempeh.
And the kefir really? Is going
to come. Yeah, that's new to me. And I've been here a very long time.
Well, that's because we have these cute little tempeh
There's
kits
tempeh.
Making
yeah,
tempeh.
Tempeh
kits.
Yeah.
And also... one more thing. Oh, the kefir is going to come, and they're making mead?
Yes.
Yeah. They're making mead for the event?
It is. Yeah. It's a non-alcoholic mead that is just – it's unbelievable. They take the bee pollen and then the honey from the where they get the pollen from and make this non-alcoholic mead. It is so unbelievable. We did a dinner at the restaurant, and they brought it there, and it was just – I couldn't stop drinking it. It's so good.
Yeah, they've been at the farmer's market in Sebastopol the last couple of weeks,
yeah.
And they've had some tastings. Mm-hmm. That are, last week I tried their root beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The birch beer.
Yeah. And they're doing something very interesting with chocolate. I'm not wild about chocolate, so I always think I'm a good taster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was just very interesting, really interesting to taste chocolate flavors without chocolate's texture.
Mm.
I found that fascinating. So the event, it's on April 27th. Mm-hmm. That's next Saturday from 3:30 until 10. And hey, if you're having a good time dancing at 10, I bet you don't get thrown out. will we keep you up that late, Paula?
I'm not going to stay till 10 o'clock. I'll tell you that. But I'm going to stay to eat Daniel's food, that's for sure. And then I'll probably go home.
Now, is this an anniversary? Do we have a big anniversary coming up for Farm Trails? Is this their 40th year?
It's 40 years. Now, I get confused about that because they had one or two years where they didn't have a grab fair. And Farm Trails was kind of fell below the radar a little bit. So I'm not quite sure what the 40 number comes from, honestly.
Yeah, because I was thinking that it started in 72.
Farm Trails?
I thought it started in 72.
Were you here then?
Yeah.
So... one of the things Steve Dutton said was there were farm stands everywhere. Do you remember those?
I used to shop at them. I wouldn't go so far as to say everywhere. But there were a lot of farm stands.
Yeah.
It was not difficult to go directly to certain farms to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I always talk about this, there was the drive-in dairy. Miller's Drive-In Dairy on Petaluma Boulevard North. They had raw milk. Raw cream, and you drove in, you know, you brought back your glass bottles, and I had a loop that I would make in my funky old Volvo, my 1958 bright orange Volvo named Flame, because it had a tendency to catch on fire now and then. And I had a loop. I would go out to Bodega Bay and buy a whole salmon from somebody on a boat. I would go to Miller's Drive-In Dairy. I would go to, there was a fruit stand on 116 that is now sort of this crazy jumble of antiques outside.
Uh-huh.
That was a fruit stand. I would get over to Vela Cheese and get some cheese and sometimes some butter from Vela.
Uh-huh.
And
Oh, so Vela's still here. Vela's the only one still here.
In the same location. Miller's has been gone for a long time. Mm-hmm. But there were farm, and I went to farm stands. I don't even remember the names because you go to one farm stand for apples. Mm-hmm. And that's how, from the time I first came here, mm-hmm. that's how I shopped. Mm-hmm. So
going to the farm
when
stands.
It suddenly became a thing here, it was like, well, it's about time everybody noticed. Because that's, yeah. I mean, that's just one of the very great things about Sonoma County.
Is really
the agricultural,
is. Yeah.
Yeah. the agricultural, both the bounty and the diversity.
Yeah, yeah. We probably have, I mean, I've been in other places in the world. I think we have the best food that I've ever had.
Oh, God, yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And my mom comes out to visit. She can't understand why things taste so good out here. Yeah.
Where does she live?
Connecticut. That's where I'm from originally. And every time she comes out, she's like, this just tastes so good. I don't understand why. And it's because things just taste better here.
Yeah. Well, we have remarkable soil, mm-hmm. as Luther Burbank noted. And I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that we have warm inland valleys, but we also have the cooling effect of the coast. Mm-hmm. So we have this sort of microclimate where we can grow almost anything.
Almost, except for avocados.
Yeah.
There's a couple avocado trees.
Really?
There's a couple over in the person to talk to, I think it about avocados is Bob Kennard Jr.
Okay. In Sonoma.
And I know some individuals who have avocado trees, but
over
not
to
commercial.
The restaurant.
Yeah. I think there's some tropical flowers, mm-hmm. that I don't know that we've had luck with, and we have no mangosteens.
Yeah.
Alas.
Yeah.
But we have almost everything else.
Yeah.
And it's just a great thing. Well, anyway, back to Farm Trails. Farm Trails, my understanding is that Farm Trails was the first organization of its kind.
I think so.
And then other places, including in Connecticut and Rhode Island, a number of similar organizations, mm-hmm. formed, mm-hmm. on the model of Farm Trails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of, in some ways, I think, like what I associate with Marin Organic. They knew each other. They hung around together. They were so then they organized themselves so that they could sell their products. Mm-hmm. So I think it was kind of like that, you know. And there's still a lot of the people in Farm Trails are really old friends. They've known each other for decades.
Yeah, so, and I remember when it was the 10th birthday party they had, I think, at Dutton. At Dutton Ranch, and I'm not sure. It sure seems to me that Betsy Tim was executive director for a very brief time. That's how I remember it. But it was outside. There was a barn involved, yeah. and music. It was really fun.
So it's a tradition.
Dancing. And it's when a few years ago, somebody who worked for the county, possibly for the Economic Development Board, they said, Farm Trails is probably gone. It got so close to.
Got pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. And now, I mean, that's a real reason to support this barn dance.
It is. It really is, yeah.
Come through a hard patch, yeah. and it's thriving. And that's why. And they're doing their paper map again.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a map. Everybody in Sonoma County should have that map in the glove box of their car.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's very heartwarming to see people jump in and see, we could have the end of Farm Trails. We're going to help. And, you know, Steve Dutton is definitely one of them. He's been great.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Duttons have been involved since the beginning. The Duttons and the Kozlowskis.
Mm-hmm. Walkers.
Walkers. And I think the Benedettis.
Probably,
were some of the people there right in the beginning of Farm Trails. And if for any reason you don't know Farm Trails, the core of Farm Trails is a map that divides the county up in a number of ways. One is geographically, but one is also by what is produced. So you can cross-reference with this map. You're looking for dairy, you go to the dairy section. You're looking for, I'm in Grayton. What farms can I visit? It's there, and it's just really handy. And for a very long time, the map was a fold-over, and you just fold it out and go hit some farms. Mm-hmm. And then new management decided they weren't going to do a map anymore. They were going to go to online only. Mm-hmm. And there was a big outcry about that. I don't think they ever completely dropped the map, but they changed the format.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think we ever completely dropped the map either.
Yeah.
But
there were plans to, and there was such an outcry that decision was reversed.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who thinks that online is the only way.
Or even the easiest way. I don't like GPS.
Yeah.
And I don't like using a map on an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
Because you don't have context. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like the big picture, folding out a map and mm-hmm. looking at the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
When I moved out here, it was kind of one of those things that, like, it was so exciting because I could just – I would go and just go visit a couple different places. I'd started out with cheese because I just always loved the cheese, and I would just be like, oh, well, we'll go check out this cheese producer. And, well, oh, I'm down in Nicosia. Oh, I'm going to go down here. And then it just – it really kind of – that's what kind of really started me and getting me excited and seeing all these different farms. Mm-hmm. It was really, really exciting.
We're going to take a little musical break, and we're keeping it local with our very own Hawaiian songbird, Faith Ucko. She's going to be doing a benefit in early May as well. I hope to talk about that here at Mouthful. If you haven't discovered Faith Ucko yet, really check her out. She's been playing a lot around here lately, and she just has the most gorgeous voice. Lives in Roanoke Park and, you know, didn't return to her musical roots until a few years ago, and she's from the North Shore of Hawaii. She's been on Mouthful a couple of times, and I hope to get her back sometime this summer. But her third CD will be out in a few weeks. Being produced through Prairie Sun Studios. Anyway, check her out. We love her here on Mouthful. I want to bring the Ludwicks back into the conversation now. Oh, and look, there we are with a Farm Trails.
Yes, thank you.
Farm Trails Mac. Good. But one thing, Paula, how are you involved with Farm Trails these days? Do you have an official involvement?
I'm actually on the board right now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yay!
Thank you. It just felt like it needed some sort of, you know, I'm so plotting and goal-oriented, and I thought, okay, you could use somebody like me on the board.
Absolutely.
For a while.
Absolutely. That is great news. Yeah. That makes me feel very... Makes me feel like Farm Trails is safe.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting your efforts there.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the history. So you've Grapevine Trading Company and also a products line.
So it's Grapevine Catering Company, mm-hmm. and we started Grapevine Catering in 2002. Chris and I did. And we have, so that's almost 11 years we've been in business. We started it in, we lived in Glen Ellen at the time, and we were just renting kitchen space, you know, where we could find it to start. Mm-hmm. And then in 2004, I believe, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, 2004, we found the little kitchen in Pocket Canyon, and we still lived in Glen Ellen. And we took over, it's literally like 600 square foot kitchen. It's teeny tiny little cabin, we call it. Mm-hmm. And so we rented that in 2004, and we ended up in 2005 moving to Guerneville. So it's Pocket Canyon, if you don't know, is between Forestville and Guerneville on Highway 116. And we've been doing business out of that kitchen for the past 8 years. We rented it's an old gas station down the street. For our offices and more warehouse space. We've been spreading ourselves across Pocket Canyon. Mm-hmm. And so we've rented those two buildings for the business. And most of Grapevine is weddings. We do a lot of winery dinners, mm-hmm. corporate, anything and everything, birthday parties, anything.
Mm-hmm. Food and wine pairings as well.
It's hard work.
It's very hard work.
I had a catering business.
So you know.
For about 12 years. And I think for a number of years, every morning when I woke up, I'm not catering anymore. What a good day. It's
physically hard.
Physically extremely demanding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So good for you for doing. You're going in a great direction, getting everything into one space now.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We're excited about that. And it's kind of funny to us that in 2000, and I think it was 2009, we had the opportunity to take over a restaurant in St. Helena. One of our winery contacts, he owned a restaurant, and it was right when the recession was really bad. And we said, "Well, this is not a good idea." And it was so far away; we'd have to commute from Guerneville.
That's a long. That's
it was
a
spreading us really far, mm-hmm. and so we didn't like that idea. And then we looked at a place in 2011 to do a market. It was right when we were starting working on Earth's Bounty concept, and we were like, "It was in Sonoma," and we thought, "Again, it's too far. Mm-hmm. Can't do it." And it's funny that we're doing everything under one roof finally, and not being spread thin, because we do mm-hmm. all the production for Earth's Bounty in Petaluma. So again, we're...
And you'll be able to move that?
Everything.
Yeah, all that's going to be under one roof.
No, you're going to stay in Guerneville?
For now. Yeah. We like our house.
Yeah. And you have
two boys. They're 8 and 6. Braxton's almost 9. Uh-huh. And they love Guerneville. They love their school. They go to the Guerneville school. Mm-hmm. And they love it there. And there's such wonderful families that live mm-hmm. in Guerneville, and it's so community oriented, and the downtown is so funky and fun. You can't leave that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we're staying, and we'll just, me and Chris and I, we'll just have to commute, and we're used to that.
Uh-huh. Plus the redwoods are hard to beat as well.
Absolutely.
And we live in the redwoods.
Yeah.
some of my favorite places in the world are in the redwoods.
Yeah. You can't beat it. No. I mean, we were sitting on our deck today, and it's redwoods. It's amazing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Now, when you started your catering business, what was the thrust or the background of that? Are you both chefs? What's the deal with that?
I'm the chef, and we actually kind of got started very luckily. It was almost thrown into my lap as far as being able to cater. A friend of mine was catering and in the city and was kind of done with the concept he was doing, and so offered kind of a job to me. He was catering photo shoots for some well-known catalogs and large mm-hmm. businesses in the area. So for their catalog shoots, he would cater their lunches. So that was kind of the springboard that started the catering company, and it just led into, you know, being a full-time caterer for this catalog concept, and then developed into a full-service company. Mm-hmm. And here we are, you know, almost 12 years later with, you know, doing, you know, weddings, winery events, and all mm-hmm. kinds of different events that we cater. So it's been exciting.
And not
it's
many
been
photo
very,
shoots
yeah,
anymore.
No.
We did actually one for Pendleton for a whole week last week. But, it's just like 12 people drop off their lunch for the photographers
the
and the art team.
Yeah, there was a woman in Petaluma who did a lot of that. She would cater for commercial shoot, mm-hmm. Filming of commercials, a few movies, but mostly it was catalog and commercial mm-hmm. sorts of things.
We did that for two. Chris did that for 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was the core of the business. Mm-hmm. And then he realized I need to find more to grow the company. I need to do more than just photo shoots.
Sure,
so he did, uh-huh. and very successfully.
And then, how did Earth's Bounty Fine Foods come out of that?
So Earth's Bounty started. It was about a 2 year development to develop the company and get the concept correct and working on the products and that kind of thing. Development of the products and shelf stable. We started it due to a lot of our clients.
I can't cook, and I wanted stuff to be able to use on proteins when Chris was working. And so I thought sauces. I am a terrible cook. I can cook meat. I can't do sides. And so we wanted enhancements, is what we call them, for your meals. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our products you can use as components in a main course dish or a side dish. Mm. And that's kind of how the concept started.
And a lot of our catering clients would take something, that a component of an hors d'oeuvre or part of a dish we make, and say, wow, that's really great. I would love to have that on a regular basis and be able to utilize that at my home. So that was kind of part of the springboard as well. Wow, we can really take some of these items that we make and actually put them in a jar and other people can enjoy them for their home meals.
Mm-hmm. So tell us what some of the things you have.
Do you want to taste them?
Sure.
Okay. So Chris,
we have a Cabernet onion jam. It's a very nice, it's a savory jam.
Let you open it.
Really good with cheeses, and we also use it on steak and chicken and
I put
pork
it on sandwiches.
As well. Sandwiches.
Salads.
Smells really good.
Yeah. Made with Cabernet.
Pass that around. You guys over there definitely want to try this. Excellent.
We have a Chardonnay onion jam as well.
So the Cabernet onion jam won a double gold at the Harvest Fair in 2010, I believe. Is that right, Chris?
Yes.
And then this one won a gold. The Chardonnay onion jam won a gold. And that one I put on turkey sandwiches. And it's really good on a cheese board.
Mm. Really good. That would be excellent on a cheese board.
We have a cinnamon apple compote.
This one Chris does on pork tenderloin and
with polenta.
Oh, what is that? Don't do that one. We're gonna skip that. There was something.
Blackberry jam.
This is a blackberry jam. That's I use this. I put this on my bagels.
It's got a little hint of vanilla in the background.
Very nice.
It's not super sweet.
Yeah, it's got some really nice tart.
Tastes like blackberry.
Tart flavors.
Yeah, you get really the true
That's
flavor of blackberries
very nice.
There. It's not, a lot of commercial jams you taste are just really full of sugar.
Yeah.
This really brings out the blackberry flavor.
Yeah, all three of those are really good. And the Chardonnay onion, every now and then somebody will talk me into doing a cheese board for them. And that is definitely something I would put on a cheese board.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
This is a chipotle barbecue sauce.
This is...
Okay, let's see. Look at this. And you're making all of it here. I'm going to use the end of my spoon. I'm not double dipping. Yeah. You make everything right now. You're making it at a kitchen in Petaluma.
We do have a facility down in Petaluma that we utilize, and we are making everything ourselves instead of having it co-packed or anything like that.
Oh, that's really spicy. Nicely balanced chipotle sauce. That's really beautifully
this
balanced.
This one won a double gold at the Harvest Fair in 2010 as well. It's got a little kick to it if you taste that one.
This is our balsamic grill sauce. It's really versatile.
I don't have the label on this one because we reformulated the recipe and I haven't redone the labels yet.
Okay, let's see.
This one's really good as a dipping sauce. Oh, I have another spoon.
Yeah. There's the way to taste without.
There you go.
It's really good as a marinade, a dipping sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all really very balanced. Very balanced.
It was funny. It took Chris a long time to... He's a classically trained chef, so it took him a while to learn... the food technology side of co-packing or packing.
Right.
And we hired someone, consulted with them, and they really helped us along. And I remember when he was redoing his barbecue sauce recipe to make it in a larger volume, I think he drove back and forth between the kitchen because he was just working on the recipe concepts. We were in our kitchen in Greenville, and he would drive back and forth between the office and the kitchen. I think he did it 10 times, and he'd bring me a spoon. I'd taste it. I'm like, nope, not right. And he'd go back, and he got so mad at me by the end of it. He's like, it's got to be right. And I couldn't taste anymore. It was just, I'm like, no more barbecue sauce. But he finally nailed it, and then there you go. There's the jar.
So, clearly got educated that it's completely different to take something that you create fresh and then put it
almonds.
In a jar. And we also have a couple of flavored nuts that we make. We have a sweet and spicy chipotle almond and a rosemary cashew as well.
Oh, nice.
Do you eat nuts?
Yes, absolutely.
Open up.
I ate just about everything. I ate everything but abalone.
Nothing with abalone here.
Don't eat abalone because it would kill me. Otherwise, I eat just about anything. And we're ignoring the producer here. Mike, would you like some nuts?
Oh, sure.
That one we do on a salad with grapevine. It's like a baby greens with peach confetti, rosemary, cashews, and what is it, a Chardonnay vinaigrette?
Chardonnay vinaigrette, yes. And the almonds we have on a really good salad, we use it's a baby organic lettuces with local strawberries, spicy almonds, and a Point Reyes Blue. That's finished with with the Chardonnay vinaigrette as well.
And the sweet and spicy has a little bit of heat that comes off of it. Was it chipotle?
Little chipotle.
Whose chipotle do you use?
We make a chipotle puree with ourselves.
So you make the... Oh, okay.
And all of our vinaigrettes that we do, we're going to hopefully be able to bottle. We do a Cabernet, a Chardonnay vinaigrette, Cabernet vinaigrette. You do a fig. What is it? Fig balsamic.
A balsamic fig vinaigrette.
And
sherry. We have a sherry vinaigrette.
Now, where are your products sold currently?
The onion jams do of some wineries. We have them at VML in Healdsburg, Clos du Bois. Big Bottom Market is selling a few items. That's in Guerneville. I can't think of the name of the company. It's El Fustina, I think, is at Santa Barbara. They're selling it. Mm-hmm. There's one I'm missing. Paradise Ridge does, they're not wholesaling or reselling. They do some of our products, and we've come up with different products with them specifically to pair with their wines.
Uh-huh.
So they do a board, and they have a local cheese. They do one of our local products, and then one of the nuts. We do like four different nuts for them, and they do it with a pairing. So they're hoping, I think she told me they just bought a refrigerator, a little mini fridge, so they can start selling cheeses and so people can picnic on their property.
Yeah, and they have that wonderful porch where you can just sit there and,
And you can
drink
also,
in the view.
Yeah, you can also buy them direct as well, offline.
Offline, and the Share Exchange in Santa Rosa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you mentioned that to me on the phone, Share Exchange.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't know where that is, that's on Mendocino. And Mendocino and Fifth.
Fifth and Fifth, yeah.
And that is a neat concept because it's all local products that are made, either artists or food producers, all from Sonoma County under one roof, which I think is really neat.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's a great place. We're going to take another musical break and be right back here on Mouthful. Family Style here on Mouthful, saying how much we love Family Style. In fact, I did my daughter's wedding.
Family style?
Family style. And I didn't work on the day of the wedding.
You shouldn't. Fact,
yeah. No. I mean, I did. I went to the farmer's market. But I got a chef. And then I got students from the culinary program at the junior college.
And they helped execute
and
it.
They helped nice. And the chef, he used to be the chef at West County Grill during its short life.
Josh and Waxman.
Not him. Darren, okay. The one who actually did the work. he volunteered to do it.
That was nice.
And because he was friends with the event planner, but we did family style with all of the tables connected end to end, weaving through a friend's garden, and I just love family style.
It's very fun. Yeah, it's very
really
popular
is.
With brides mm-hmm. now. It's very highly promoted by our sales team. We enjoy doing it, and people mm-hmm. seem to really like it. And it really brings the table together.
Yes.
Like if you're seated
yeah.
with a group of people you don't know, you start talking about the food as you pass yeah. it around, and it really yeah. kind of hones in on what's being served. Yeah. I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and I love it. I love it in restaurants too. Do you ever
yeah.
do that in backyard?
We do it every Wednesday night.
Oh,
we do a family style fried chicken dinner.
And I don't know about this.
I'm sorry.
That sounds like fun.
Why you have me here?
You do a family style
fried chicken dinner,
right on
every Wednesday, and just for that reason, it's just fun and to take the idea of fried chicken and just really kind of mm. have fun with it. And so we do a 3-course where you get a salad or some kind of appetizer, and then the fried chicken with a couple sides, and always have some kind of biscuits, whether it's biscuits and gravy or nice. Biscuits and honey butter, and then a fun little dessert.
We have to go to that.
Yeah, we're going to be on Wednesday
night. It's a lot
now.
Of fun. Yeah.
We're from North Carolina, so we know fried chicken.
I love fried chicken. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
What's it a price?
It's $32 a person.
$32
for the 3 courses, mm-hmm. and then sometimes we do like little fun supplemental things, like if we'll do some ribs or a piece of fish or some cheeses or something mm-hmm. like that. But it's just a lot of fun.
Cool.
And it's fun. It's really fun for us in the kitchen to do it. It's one of it kind of breaks up the routine of the restaurant night and just allows you to be something different for a night, and it's a lot of fun.
They were doing it down in Oakland at Olivetto, mm-hmm. the restaurant, fairly early, and they did something called a tavola. And you sat down at the long table with strangers. And they just started bringing out platters of food and setting them on the table.
Oh, that's
and
it's, great.
I think, gosh, this must have been like 1991, 92. Still one of the best meals I've ever had. And, you know, the whole 6 degrees of separation thing. All the people at the table ended up knowing people in common.
Oh,
and it was I went alone. And it was so fun, but it didn't catch on. It was ahead of its time. I think that can catch on now.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that's I think the family style is people are a little bit more open to it.
Yeah.
And it just they kind of going out to dinner or lunch or whatever it's an experience that people, you know, even in the downturn of the economy and the recession, restaurants still thrive because people go out for that experience
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and it's exciting and yeah. so that's a new experience that's happening now.
So tell us more about Backyard.
Backyard. Well, we started a few months ago. I guess we're about 5 months old. We opened November 1st, and it's a way for us to kind of be part of the community of where we live. We're so lucky to live where we do, and we wanted a place that highlighted that area. And so we use as many local products as we possibly can. All of our produce comes from the local farmers. All of our meat comes from local ranchers that we butcher in-house. Most of our seafood, all of our seafood comes from the Pacific. Most of it's from Bodega Bay area coming in.
Which to back up a little bit.
Oh, back up a little bit.
Butchering in-house. Will you talk about what that, I think a lot of people don't quite understand what that means. And I think it's important.
Perfect example. You know, we have a couple people that raise animals in the way that we would like to eat, you know, and really take the pride in the sustainability of the land, the land and the sustainability of the animals and really caring for them. And so we get the whole animal in, break mm-hmm. it down and use every single piece of it as into the best of our abilities. Mm-hmm. And, it's a lot of fun because it kind of keeps things exciting, you know, tonight on the menu, we're using the loins and grilling the loins and then for brunch, we took, you know, I think kind of some people get scared, but we took the head and the legs and braised them and made scrapple, a traditional East Coast dish.
Yum.
It's so good. It came out, so it was the first time doing scrapple. And so when we kind of took a picture of it and posted it, all of the East Coast people are like, oh my God, it's scrapple on the West Coast. But it's the same way that the same idea that we treat our vegetables. You know, when we get lots of carrots in, we take the tops and make the pestos. And I mean, somebody took so much time and energy into picking and growing and loving, so do we. And that's kind of the whole concept that we have. And for us, it started out, like I said, to really help for us to be part of a community and help and watch a community grow along with us. And so it's really exciting.
And do people, now that they know you're there, do you have farmers just coming in saying,
oh,
I
yeah, it's really exciting. Now, we did this dinner at, I can't remember the name of the group, but it's a group of women farmers that they get together once a month. And most of them are really small farmers. One of them is somebody that we do business with now. Her name's Heidi, and she has Strong Arm Farms.
Heidi's wonderful.
Yeah, she's great. And we've been lucky enough to get her leaks. We have her fava leaves. We got some cardoons from her, and so she was part of this group. And then throughout the night, because we have a completely open kitchen, those women would come by and be like, "So I have a little bit of these. Would you be able to take them?" And so it's really getting exciting now. And also for some of those smaller farmers that are really just kind of starting, you know, they either can't make it into the market because they don't have enough stuff to survive at the markets, or you know, they're just not at that point yet.
No.
Well, they can come in, and sometimes we can help and sometimes we can't. But you know, it's really great when somebody comes in with eggs that they've been growing, and you crack one open, you're just like, that's what I'm talking
about.
That's
a real egg.
That's a real egg. That's a carrot. That's a radish. And you know, this guy, he has a small farm in Guerneville called Sinclair Farm. He's just getting started trying to – he moved back from Japan to save his parents' farm, and he brings us, you know, 8 dozen eggs a week because that's all he's producing now. But he's growing more, and he's getting more chickens. And he finally got radishes that the animals didn't eat, and so he brought in a couple bunches of radishes. And for us, it's really, I mean, also we're so lucky, I mean, to deal with people like Lauren Ponzi at Stemple Creek and Paul at Singing Frog and Nathan Boone at First Light. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the people that when nobody else had any products this winter, because it was the craziest winter, we were lucky enough to have some of the great, great farmers and still have some really great products. And
so if you ever need any sorrel,
yes,
you can call me. You want me to bring you some sorrel,
please,
tomorrow?
Please, I love sorrel.
Okay, I'll look and see
sorrel.
How it is. I have both.
Do you have the
big,
wood?
I have the big green.
Okay,
and then
like
the little red stripes.
Yeah,
so I'll see what I have.
Please. We were getting somebody, and I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this on the radio, but, you know, I guess it's a mouthful and we're allowed, but, you know, some of the wild foragers come in, and we get this lettuce mix that has, like, all these wild foraged lettuces. So he's got the miner's lettuce and the watercress and wood sorrel. And so it's really fun to kind of see different things that you know, you can't order that, you know.
Yeah.
You can't call a produce company and say, "Oh, I want this wild forage lettuce mix," and from something that's grown by the swamps. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, and it's really great that this is still going on. I mean, so this sort of thing started again. I mean, I'm sure this was going on 100 years ago.
Oh yeah,
but it really started up again in the 70s. With Chez Panisse.
Yeah.
And people, once the word was out, that's how Laura Chanel got her start. And, you know, she showed up at the back door with some little goat cheeses.
Yeah.
And Alice Waters placed the biggest order that she wanted 30
had.
A week.
Yep.
And it was like, oh my God, 30 a week.
Yeah.
And people would show up with a basket full of nasturtiums and nasturtium leaves. Mm-hmm. And that's really how this whole thing started. And sometimes it seemed like it got so big and almost corporate. And there were now, you know, Vegetable and all those places that do the really large quantities, that it almost felt like there was no more room for these little producers.
Right.
So this is great.
The great thing too is, I mean, yeah, you had Chez Panisse, but there were so many restaurants that did so much that didn't get that same recognition. Like my wife worked at a restaurant called Cafe Rouge down in Berkeley.
Oh, Cafe Rouge was phenomenal.
Phenomenal. It's huge in the slow foods movement.
It still is.
It's fantastic.
You know, Chez Panisse got the recognition for two reasons. First, they were first.
Yep.
But second of all, Alice was blessed with the most amazing set of clientele.
Mm-hmm.
The movie maker, it was partly, I think her boyfriend at the time was Luddy. I think I'll think of Jim, not Jim Luddy. Anyway, he was involved in film.
And so she had everybody from Francis Coppola and Martin Scorsese and Werner Herzog and Les Blank, who sadly just passed away, Les Blank, who had a crush on her. And so they would go, all these different people would go back to their homes. The next time they had to come to the Pacific Film Archives or something, where did they go for dinner? They went to Chez Panisse. And then they would go out and they would talk about it. So I think that's really been, that was the big catapult.
It was, for me, it was one of those first people that, you know, that really kind of sparked that idea, you know. And I mean, I was really lucky to work for some really amazing people that kind of that started that ideology. But then it was reading about Chez Panisse and going down there and eating one time and having that peach on a plate and tasting it and just falling in love. And it was spectacular. And we're so lucky to be able to do what we do. You can't do this everywhere. You know, it would be so much harder to do what we do here to do it in Connecticut, where I'm from. Like, you know, now you're almost able to do it, but, you know,
you must have some down months.
Yes. In Connecticut, there's a lot of unpredictability.
Yeah.
Here, you know, come May, it's really not going to rain anymore. And then you're going to have a couple months of serious rain. But, you know, we can do it here, so why not? You know, and it just makes it that much more exciting.
So tell me a little bit about the menu. And you're open from 9 in the morning until what, 9 or 10 at night?
Right now it's 9. After the last couple weekends, I think we might have to go up to 10, though, because people just keep kind of coming in a little bit later. But the menu changes all the time. You know, it's like I said, it's completely farm-driven. So when we run out of Paul's lettuce from Singing Frog, we'll call Roots of Creation Farm and see what lettuces they have, and then the menu changes. But we do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Brunch on the weekends, where we have a lot of fun. Like I said, we did a little scrapple. We do chicken and waffles on the weekend. Right now we're using Felton Acres chickens because they're just spectacular. We've also used Pepper Ranch poultry, and they do a great job. They're spectacular. It's so hard. We kind of keep going back and forth between the two because we can't decide which one we like more. But
you know, there's another chicken producer down. Oh gosh, it starts with an S. I'll think of it. She's on Washington. In Petaluma, close to Adobe Road. If you remember, there was the Adobe Pumpkin Farm.
Yeah.
Her property abuts, and I think Adobe Pumpkin Farm is gone. I don't think it will be there this year. She's right next to it, and they've actually been on the property for about 14 years,
I think.
But she's turned container, you know, the metal container. She's turned that into her farm store.
Nice.
She knows where every little piece, the cash register, the signs, the frames, they came from like her family home, her great-grandmother's home in San Francisco, just everything. And she has a lot of chickens for eggs, but she also has meat chickens. And I stopped off and got one. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Really extraordinary.
And that's the great thing about right now is like the simplest thing of a chicken is that's the biggest shift, and that's one of the things that, you know, for us, or for me, there's so many, you know, they talk about the whole foie gras thing and everything that's going on, and I'm a fan of foie gras, but I'm not that upset by it, but what upsets me is that they picked that fight instead of the industrial farming and the industrial farming of animals and what happens to our ecosystem, not just our food system, because of it.
Yeah.
I was actually listening to the radio on the way here, and they were kind of talking about it, which is why it's in my head. But it's to go back to the small production of chickens, especially chickens and pork and beef and wild caught fish to really keep the sustainability of our oceans going. It has to happen, and it's happening more and more now, and so hopefully it'll extrapolate out.
Yeah, somebody was talking about that. Where were we? Oh, the Iron Horse Earth Day celebration today. I was talking with Jim Reichert briefly, and he was referencing something that he had just heard, I think, on the radio, and they're talking about in a neighborhood, if every 10th house had 10 chickens, that would be enough to keep everybody in eggs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most cities, it seems, are lifting their laws about you can't have chickens in the city. I know that Santa Rosa has reversed that. Mm-hmm. And it brings the neighborhood together. And there's just so many things like that we can do. And I really feel if we don't do it, because we want to, we're going to be forced to anyway, yep. because the environment's going to collapse. I think huge industrial farming is going to fall in on itself.
It already is.
Yeah,
it already is.
Yeah, we're seeing the effects of that.
And more people are making that shift. And it's not just Sonoma County. It's all over the country.
Yes, and it's a great thing, and it's a topic that Mouthful visits on a regular basis. But we only have a few minutes left, and we're going to go back to the barn dance, and we're also going to tell people how to get Earth's Bounty Fine Foods. So the Barn Dance, it is coming up next Saturday, April 27th. It is from 3:30 until 10. Mm-hmm. The cost, $50 for adults, $80 for couples. Children under 12 are $10 each. You can go to Farm Trails, and it's farmtrails.org. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to get all the details. You can always send me an email if you miss something. I'm at catsmilk@sonic.net, mm-hmm. as you probably know. You can also go to Mouthful's Facebook page, and we'll get you in touch with the right people if you want to get tickets. Music by Cahoots. Daniel Keaton of Backyard is the chef, and a lot of other people are participating. We didn't mention wine, but there will be wine, of course, mm-hmm. along with non-alcoholic mead. Can people buy tickets up until the last minute, Paula?
Yeah, we're going to actually sell them at the farm, too.
Oh, you will?
Yeah,
oh, okay,
we
great.
Are. So, you know, if you don't quite get it together to get online, you can come to the farm and just buy tickets at the farm.
Okay, that's great. And if you do want the phone number... 837-8896 is Farm Trails. And there's a new address for Farm Trails on Carroll Road in Petaluma.
It is, but we're going to move to Sebastopol. We're going to move to John Kohling's Solana Gold right on the corner, right across from the coffee shop there. Bloomfield Road and Highway.
Oh.
We're going to move there.
Oh, okay.
So in the next month, relocate to...
Oh, great.
Because Carroll Road's way out.
Carroll, yeah. That's like Valley Ford.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's beautiful, but it's to go to work, it's far. So mm-hmm. we're going to move to Solana Gold mm-hmm. right there on the corner, right across from the old Bassignani's.
Yes. Yeah. Who is executive director of Farm Trails now?
What's Carmen's last name? Holy God. Carmen, I don't know her last name.
Okay.
I call her Carmen.
Carmen.
Yeah, Carmen's the executive director uh-huh. right now. And my sister Barbara is their bookkeeper right now.
Oh, fun? Excellent. Excellent. We have good people back at the helm of Farm Trails. That makes me very happy. And on that note, we're just about out of time. But let's tell people how to get a hold of, for people who want to buy some of these great products, Earth's Bounty, can they get the information off your website?
Yeah. So the website is earthsbountyfinefoods.com. And the number is 707-869-8198.
861?
869.
869.
8198.
8198. And again, you can always, if you miss something, you can always just send me an email, and I will get that to you right away. And on that note, it's the end of another yummy episode of Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle, Anna, Jordan. We're going to have more news for you. There's a new farmer's market coming to Sonoma County that we will be talking about with Paula soon. So be sure to tune in next week and Sundays thereafter for Mouthful here on KRCB.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Listen to what the preacher says.
they got some beans and good cornbread. Listen to what the preacher says.